This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In this gospel, in the Latin Mass, Jesus tells the people that he knew Abraham. And he said, Abraham longed to see my day. And they look at him and they say, what are you, nuts? You're not even 45 years old, and you say you saw Abraham? Jesus said to them, before Abraham came to be, I am. When he said that, he was equating himself with God himself, because he was naming himself as God, because God's name, when you hear about Jehovah, all right, and translate that as I am who am. So Jesus said, I am who am. And they said, you can't say that. And Jesus said, that's who I am. And they picked up stones to throw at him and to kill him. And he hid himself from them. So what we do on this Sunday, in sympathy with Jesus, is cover him up and cover up his friends so his enemies won't get to him. How beautiful. Now we'll talk about that as we get into this. Because this Sunday is called Passion Sunday. Now, we've experienced, certainly in this country, shall we call it, the dumbing down of our people. We just, sometimes we don't understand anywhere near what our parents or grandparents understood. I think particularly the word, sometimes vocabulary. We have no idea where sometimes where words come from, and we develop ways of speaking that are actually probably difficult for us to understand. So say, for instance, the word passion. If today was called Passion Sunday, referring, of course, as it does, to the passion of our Lord. Now, some poor little sixth grader or some undereducated college professor would see or hear that word passion, and they'd immediately think something vulgar. They would immediately associate the word passion with something wild and reckless and emotional and hormonal. You get the picture. The word passion, for moderns, means hardly more than some animalistic response to some sort of primal mating need. Passion, as we use that word in America, is thoughtless, totally overwhelming, and totally consuming. For moderns, passion excuses every excess. He came upon them in the heat of passion, and he slew them. Or they could not control their passions. You see, the problem is, this is so often how we use that word, that our younger people would be forgiven for asking, how is it that what Jesus endured in his final days is called the Passion? After all, they ask, was not the cross an instrument of pain and shame and discomfort? Did they not beat him up and whip him and spit at him and mock him and then nail him to a cross and kill him? How is that passion if passion means something uncontrollably pleasurable? Doesn't the story of Jesus' last days tell us how he suffered and died at their hands, and we call that the passion? But see, that's when we tell them passion actually means to suffer. Because the word passion comes from the Latin passus est, passio. He or she endures whatever must be endured for the sake of love, for the sake of the one who is loved. And if what they must endure entails suffering, then so be it. So the word passus est, or passio, or passion, means that he or she suffers because of love. It's beautiful to think of it that way. The reason that this superficial age confuses passion with hormones and emotions is that we moderns have confused the word love with hormones and emotions. So much so that since we no longer understand what love is, we obviously have no idea what passionate love is. Think of the love of a mother and a father for their child. Is there anything they would not do for their child? Is there anything they would not endure for their child? Is there anything that a mother and father would not suffer for their child? Of course not. The love of parents for their children is a passionate love par excellence. We're talking about endless trips to the doctor, endless trips to the hospital so that the child will get well. We're talking about sleepless nights that yield dead tired days, and all for the well-being of that little child. And not just when they're little. How many mothers are surprised to find that they cannot sleep until their young last adult child comes home at night? And they thought those days were over. Love means you worry and you work and you lay awake at night for the ones you love for the rest of your life. And that's not even counting the suffering of the poor mothers who have to leave their mother in the care of someone else and go to work to supplement her husband's income. Not because she wants to, but because she's been forced to, maybe by the government, by taxes, by prices. Well, she suffers supremely by not being at home. But she suffers nonetheless. And that's not just the mothers. I think of the fathers who work 14 hours a day, laboring and sweating and hurting in the sun or in a warehouse or in a mine or in the kitchen of some fancy restaurant. And they do all this all for the sake of the ones they love. But they will do this, and they will do more if they have to, because they love their families. And how about the poor father's out of work? And he's beside himself with anxiety. How will he feed them? How will he clothe them? How will he protect them? How will he keep them safe? His beloved wife, his beloved children. Well, the father who loves, loves just as passionately as the mother. Is there a father or mother anywhere who would not take upon themselves every pain and sickness if by that they could spare their child all pain and sickness? Is there a father or mother anywhere who would not give up their life if by their death their child might live? Of course not, because that's the definition of true love. That we care so deeply for the ones that we love that we give them everything possible. We give them our days, our nights, our time, our tears, and even our life, if by that gift they could live and live forever. Do you see how all of this is the definition of true love, the definition of passionate love? The true love consists not in bodily thrills that I take from someone, but in giving up everything I have, even my life, even to the point of death, for the sake of the ones that I love. What the modern world calls love or passion is just so sad in its superficiality. Love for moderns is no more than the nightly exchange of partners we pick up in a bar. Love for moderns is what we can take without having to give up anything. Love for moderns is what we can get without effort, without commitment. And that's why fewer and fewer people get married anymore. The statistics are astounding. But they ask, well, why should I get married? I can have all the companionship I want for as long as I want, and when it gets a little too much, a little too difficult, a little too demanding, I have to endure something, maybe even suffering for the ones I love, well, I just leave them. I tell this all the time to young men who are not married in church but are living with their woman. And I say it in front of their woman so that they know what's going on, and I ask the young man, why would you not want to swear before God that you will take care of her and your children for the rest of your lives? Why do you not want to say that before God? And then often enough, the guy looks at his feet and he says nothing. And then I say to her, do you see that? He doesn't want to swear before God that he will take care of you and your children for the rest of your lives. Do you think he loves you in any meaningful way if he won't swear before God that he'll take care of you? So we can see what the modern world calls love, and passionate love is not and cannot be love. It's actually the opposite of love. Real love is the giving of self. Modern love is just selfish. Modern love is not passionate because it's unfaithful. We go from partner to partner in search of ever greater thrills. And yes, that's why pornography and dirty magazines and bad movies are wrong, because it's all a way of being unfaithful. Modern love is impermanent. It never stays. It never commits. It never endures hardship or difficulty. It's too hard. Modern love is fundamentally unpassionate. because it won't suffer for the sake of the one who is loved. And that means then that person actually is not loved. And finally, modern love is infertile. It's contraceptive, it's fruitless, it's intentionally sterile. Modern love frustrates life. In the very moment when two can become three, we kill the third because it's too much trouble. No, modern love is not passionate because it's not about others. It's not about suffering for others. Modern love is pretty selfish. So maybe that's why we cover the statues today. First of all, we are hiding our Lord from his enemies. And in such a beautiful childlike manner, we do say, oh, don't worry, Jesus, we'll hide you. We'll hide you from your enemies. They won't get you, Jesus. But then maybe we're also hiding his eyes from us. Maybe we've started to align ourselves with his enemies. Maybe we too have started to buy into the world's definition of love. And maybe we don't want Jesus to see us and how in our lives maybe we've made a bit of a mess of love. But that's all right. We still have 2 weeks to meditate on the passion of our Lord. 2 more weeks to think about how life is about love and love is about sacrifice, Jesus's and ours. 2 more weeks to go to confession and get all the grace we need in order to put Lent and life and passionate love together, to see what it all means in the light of the passion and in the shadow of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.